Show.
This group will travel the country as an army of advocates to tell people you cannot be on a cell phone, you cannot be eating food.
At the Detroit Auto Show, new technology is trying to keep drivers connected and not distracted.
The vehicles on the auto show floor are loaded with systems that automatically make your cell phone hands-free, stream songs from your iPod, and even read Twitter messages to you. The big debate is whether the systems make vehicles safer or just make people multitask more.
There's a lot probably that can still be done in that area, but the industry's moving in the right direction.
J.D. Power analyst Jeff Schuster says there is strong demand for systems that allow drivers to connect their cars and their smartphones. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
There it goes! Can you count to 70?
In 1998, Mark McGwire was the celebrated slugger, smashing the single-season home run record and breathing new life back into the national pest. Now he's an admitted steroid user.
It's the most regrettable thing I've ever done in my life.
McGwire came clean on steroids, but in a tearful interview on the MLB Network, he said they didn't help him hit the ball farther.
The only reason that I took steroids was for my health purposes. I did not take steroids to get any gain for any strength purposes.
The admission is not a shock to most baseball fans who suspected as much for years.
I think everyone has looked at his body and probably suspected that all along.
Why is Mark McGwire doing this now? For one thing, he's returning to the game this spring as the St. Louis Cardinals hitting coach, working for manager Tony La Russa.
I believe he's going to come out of this with a lot of his respect from his peers and fans restored.
And about those 2005 congressional hearings where McGwire was ridiculed after saying over and over he didn't want to talk about the past, the former slugger says he did not want to expose family and friends to questions in a possible criminal prosecution. A new CBS News poll shows President Obama's approval rating at its lowest level yet, 46%. And a plan to help pay for health care reform Mr. Obama supports might not help him keep friends in big labor unions. We're live at the White House, and CBS's Peter Mayer.
At issue here, Steve, White House backing for a proposed tax on high-end so-called Cadillac health plans. The president's labor allies oppose it, saying it would hurt workers who have traded pay raises for improved health insurance coverage in their recent contracts. President Obama had what was described as a frank discussion with 10 union leaders. The White House has signaled possible support for a tax hitting fewer people. Some labor chiefs warn that passage of the tax would hurt Democrats in the midterm elections. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS. News.
The administration's considering a tax on big banks to help recover shortfalls in the bailout fund and try to balance the budget, banking analyst Bert Ely.
This is very much of a politically driven proposal, trying to capitalize on the public anger over the recent announcements of the size of bank bonuses.
It's the World News Roundup from CBS News, and it's 4 minutes after the hour.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Winter driving can be a challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop an adverse condition, so just slow down or stop. If you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Drone feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until it's improved.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Bill Press, I mean, you know, this is one of the legendary journalists, at least in his own mind. He's a little left of Stalin, I think.
Get off my phone, you little pinhead!
Shut the F up and step aside, you little pisshead.
Just shut up, will you?
You shut up.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Oh, my God!
Radio talk show host Bill Press.
In the heathy.
A voice of certainty in an uncertain world.
The fun that's ahead of us here, folks, almost incalculable.
Breaking news. Unbelievable. Breaking news. Sarah Palin hired by Fox News. Can you believe it? Oh, my God. There. If they had any shred of legitimacy left, it is gone now. Sarah, Fox News, clearly nothing more than a little media arm of the Republican National Committee. And, of course, if you want great depth of political insight, who do you turn to among conservatives? Yeah, Sarah Palin, as if. And she makes her debut tonight on the Bill O'Reilly Show at 8 p.m. East Coast time. Can't wait for that. Here we are, friends, the Tuesday edition of the Bill Press Show. We are coming to you live with all the breaking news from our little studio on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, where we've got an eye on what's happening at the Capitol building just down the street here, with the House of Representatives coming back in session today and picking up its work on climate change and fighting to, you know, hold on to the good measures in the House health care reform bill as opposed to the weaker Senate bill. And down at the White House, President Obama meeting with labor leaders to talk about his support for a tax on health care benefits, which would hit at least one out of four union households in this country. Unions very unhappy with that, and they let the president know yesterday down at the White House. This is your chance, your forum, your platform to talk about the issues of the day. You can do so by giving us a call, 866-55-PRESS, 866-55-7737. Join the conversation at any time, and check out the website, BillPressShow.com. Pick up a copy of Going Rouge. You want to know the real story about Sarah Palin, by the way. The editors of The Nation magazine put that together. A lot of fun, and available through our website, Going Rouge. And you can also check out under today's links the photo of a good group of Americans who are setting the pace and leading the way in how to speed things up at airport security, let's put it that way. And so I'm going to say, just check out the photo taken yesterday at Dulles Airport under today's links. The Bill Press team here in place, ready to go. Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning.
Hi there.
And, the media news was not all about Sarah Palin yesterday. It was not even all about Simon Cowell, who was leaving American Idol. There continued to be news about Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien switching places. In fact, I'll tell you one thing. The NBC switcheroo has given Leno and Conan lots of material. As Leno says, I was fired. That's big news.
As you may know, our show has been canceled. Fired again.
Really? Oh.
See, that shows him he's got nothing. Even when they fire people, it's a rerun. Didn't we just get fired the name?
Yeah, fired again. And Conan O'Brien saw a parallel in the 6.5 earthquake that hit off the coast of in the Pacific coast off Eureka over the weekend.
Big local story this weekend. No one was seriously hurt, but this is true. A 6.5 earthquake hit California. Did you know it?
Mm-hmm.
True story. Yeah, the earthquake was so powerful it knocked Jay Leno's show from 10 o'clock to 11:35.
Very, very funny. All right, so coming up a little bit later, as we mentioned, Terry O'Sullivan, president of the Laborers Union, was at the meeting yesterday at the White House with the president. He will give us the whole rundown about what happened there in the Roosevelt Room of the White House. And we'll start off by taking a look at the steps America is taking to tighten up security at the airports with Steve Flynn, the new president of the Council for Center of National... I'm sorry, the Center, yeah, for National Policy. But first...
This is the Full Court Press.
Well, other headlines making news. Jerry Seinfeld is defending NBC's late-night shakeup. He praises the network for having the guts to try something new with Leno's show, even though it didn't work out in their favor. For people who say Conan is getting rolled over, he said the network didn't do anything to Conan. Once someone gives you the cameras, he says, it's all on you. There's no rules in showbiz, no referees. He thinks that both Conan and Leno will come out of this just fine.
I think one thing it proves, which my career proves too, that longevity is not, doesn't have anything to do with working in the media.
America's
been fired so many times I lost track.
American Idol's ninth season premieres tonight. TV critics are saying the new season should be very interesting because unlike Paula Abdul, new judge Ellen DeGeneres has a razor-sharp wit that might upstage Simon Cowell.
Yeah, in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
And a sequel for the Star Trek reboot with the younger versions of Kirk, Spock, Bones, and the rest is in the works. Variety reports J.J. Abrams will once again produce the picture and is working on a deal to direct it. The most recent installation of Star Trek pulled in over $385 million.
That was such a good movie, too.
Yeah.
It really was a good movie.
Yeah, but there'll be never be another...
No, nothing's as good as the original.
No.
And no one could beat Leonard Nimoy.
No, exactly.
That's just all there is to it.
All right, good. 12 minutes after the hour now. Yes, indeed. The whole national security issue has kind of been knocked off the front pages over the weekend by all the flap over Harry Reid, but it hasn't gone away. It was discussed yesterday, and I was down there at the White House for the White House briefing. And the president, of course, received a report last week from his national security directors. I was there also at the briefing with John Brennan and Janet Napolitano. He has told them to implement their recommendations and to come back in 30 days and report to him on what steps have been made, what progress have been made. Meanwhile, one of the, I thought most, the best pieces that I've read about this whole reaction to what happened on Christmas Day came from Stephen Flynn, the new director of the Center for National Policy, filling the shoes of our good friend Tim Romer, who was a frequent guest on the show and left to become our new ambassador to India. Steve wrote a piece for the Washington Post. We wanted to get him on the show and talk about that and some other issues. Steve Flynn, congratulations. Welcome to the program.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Bill. I'm excited to be at the Center for National Policy and excited to be with you this morning.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you there. It's a very important institution. You also, Madeleine Albright's a former president as well. Ed Muskie, some pretty important Americans there.
pretty intimidated in trying to fill some of these shoes.
Exactly. Let me ask you first just sort of a general question. I mean, after 9/11, Steve, you know, we had... I mean, what came in the wake of 9/11 was, you know, the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, the Patriot Act, and you go on and on down the list of things that were justified as a response to 9/11. Do we have a tendency as a country to overreact to some of these terrorist threats or attacks?
We do, and this most recent instance is a vivid illustration of that. I mean, let's put this in perspective. The plane landed safely in Detroit. Seriously injured was the guy was trying to blow himself up, and yet we've had a virtual political meltdown here in D.C., a finger-pointing and so forth. Now, there's clearly a problem. I mean, you know, we have basically, the government has provided a promise it can't deliver on. It basically says it can do the job of protecting us and will do whatever it takes to do that while we just go about our daily lives. What this thing illustrated yet again, in fact, is that we're on the front lines as individuals. I mean, the thing that helped to foil this attack were two things that were entirely non-governmental. One was the smoking gun. The father came forward and said, hey, you may want to look at my son. And if we had acted on that, we would have nipped this in the bud. And the second piece, obviously, it is very difficult to do a complex chemistry experiment, which was like putting a piece when you're in the last minutes of your life. And so the fact that the passengers around stopped this guy from essentially blowing himself up and taking the airline away, it was really, really important. But we've all got lost on the where did government fail to protect us. It's not to say we shouldn't be outraged. We should be, because this should be doing a lot better. But we need to also keep in this context that there are limits to what the government can do, and there's a lot more. We could be a lot more informed and empowered as everyday people than we have been.
Well, it seems to me there are a couple of myths that we all sort of accept. One is, and you alluded to this, that the system will ever be 100%, right? That we can absolutely guarantee there will never, never, never be another terrorist attack against any American installation anywhere in the world, right? And that's impossible, right?
Well, absolutely, as it is with everything else in life, as I tried to point out in the speech I wrote for the Post, is we accept risk every day when we get in the car. We accept risk basically by hanging around each other and potentially contracting viruses. And so the risk is a part of our lives. And what this country is historically known for is its courage and its resilience, its ability to confront adversity, not lose its head and move on. But I think we've lost a bit of this here with this notion that we should be, you know, that we can somehow stop every act of terror if we just throw enough technology, enough resources at it.
Right. I was going to say that's the second myth, it seems to me, is that there is a technological fix to this whole problem. And if we just keep, you know, getting bigger and better and more intrusive machines, that the problem will go away.
Yeah, I mean, technology can clearly help, but one of the ways in which we should be approaching this, and unfortunately we're not, you know, I think with Cuba on the terror list, we'll be having, you know, octogenarian grandmothers going through body cavity searches now. Yeah, I mean, just, it's getting crazy. We're not doing a good job of saying where does the risk really lie, and then where do we use these tools? So one of the approaches, you try to take hay off the stack, and there are a lot of folks like young kids, or very elderly people, who we should be clearly not spending as much time on as we do. We should be looking for behaviors. That's what distinguishes somebody trying to blow themselves up and take us with it versus just everyday folks. And that's a training. The Israelis, of course, are very good at this. The Brits are very good at this. We rely heavily, though, on actually taking the human element out of this, like not having people being able to exercise judgment on the front line, penalize them if they do, and then relying on technology that's always fallible. We just need to fundamentally rethink our approach to doing this. One, by scaling back our expectations that we can be protected from every bad thing. And secondly, by upgrading ourselves, being informed and empowered to deal with some of the hazards that will confront us. And recognize that we are, as people, as civilians, as our politicians, we are contributing to the threat on terrorism if we overreact. The purpose of our adversaries doing this, engaging in this as a means of warfare, is to get us to overreact.
To get us to overreact. Exactly. What about, Steve, something as simple as, look, I fly a lot, right? I go to the White House almost every day, right? When I go to the White House, I'm on the list. They know me. I'm there every day. I just go to the gate. I don't have to go through a whole rigmarole. They check my ID, but otherwise they just let me in. Why can't they have something like that at the airport for those people who fly all the time and who've been checked out and screened once, you know, and then have some different line for them? Wouldn't that speed things up? And isn't that just common sense?
Yeah, it sure is, and we do this in other areas, but again, it's about taking some of the risk that we can vouch for up front, a pre-clearance process. You know, you go ahead and get a pass that basically gives some information about you that you are a frequent traveler and so forth,
yeah.
And we create separate queues. So the real challenge, if we end up with body scan equipment, you know, and the challenge here is that, you know, the stuff that we're going through every day at airports won't find explosives, won't find it in our checked bag, and won't find it on ourselves. So that's a big problem, given that's presumably the threat that we're trying to deal with. But if we throw these new tools at this with the same volume, we're just basically going to cripple the aviation industry. So we've got to think more creatively about how we deal with this than treat everybody as a potential needle unless they can be proven they're a piece of hay.
What I find so appalling is that so many, and even listeners here to this progressive radio show, is that so many Americans are so willing to give up their sacrifice their civil liberties and give up their right of privacy because they're so afraid of the threat of terrorism.
Well, I guess this really is perplexing for me here. You know, at its heart, we had this thing called the American Revolution. But the British promise was they would protect us. We just had to cut a deal with them in terms of accepting the monarch and so forth. We, founding fathers et al., decided, well, you know, I'd rather actually risk a little bit of security for the freedoms that essentially that provides by our governing ourselves.
Amen.
We'll be a weaker state, but, hey, that's the way to go. We are still, this whole issue, they need to balance civil liberties with, you know, need to protect ourselves. Nonsense. The reason why we need national security is to safeguard our liberties. And the way we do this, though, is not by basically saying, all right, we'll just live with risk. We need to recognize as citizens, we need to be informed about what our government can do and what it can't do. And we need to be empowered to do things that actually can help manage this issue. You know, the whole issue, like the Second World War, of everybody being involved, that's important. Not around necessarily, you know, being out there preventing, but also being able to respond to being prepared as individuals. There's a lot that we can do on the home front, reduces this risk, and allows us to hang on to our liberties and our great way of life.
Steve Flynn, tell our listeners how they can find out more about the work of the Center for National Policy. What's your website?
Oh, well, please check us out on cnponline.org and the Center for National Policy, a great organization. I'm very proud to have the chance as the first of the year to lead it.
cnp.org, is that it?
CNPOnline.org.
CNPOnline.org. Dr. Stephen Flynn, good to have you with us. We'll talk to you again soon, and thanks for your leadership on this. You're making a lot of sense, and I hope people are listening. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Bill, for having me.
Bye-bye. All right, Stephen Flynn, new president of the Center for National Policy.
Podcasts, Twitter feed, and Bill's White House Report exclusively at the brand new BillPressShow.com. This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Is your car payment dragging you down? Are you struggling to pay too many bills and need more cash? How would you like to save thousands of dollars a year on your car payments for free? The specialists at Guidian want to help you cut your monthly car payments for free. They can help you modify your current high-interest loan or find other options to save you money fast. There is no cost or obligation to find out more. Guidian gives you several options to save money on your monthly car payments. In fact, they will help you find the best solution for your individual financial situation. You can save as much as 50% on your car payments. Call for free information now. 800-257-5919. That's 800-257-5919. Don't wait until the bank takes your car. Get more room in your budget now and save thousands of dollars a year in high-interest car payments. For free information about this revolutionary free service, call now. 800-257-5919. That's 800-257-5919.
Hi, I'm your heart, and I gotta get something off our chest. It's about our cholesterol. And I'm not speaking just for me, because high cholesterol affects our whole body. So let's ask our doctor about garlic, okay? Garlic's clinically proven ingredient helps maintain healthy cholesterol naturally. That's why pharmacists recommend it most. And unlike other brands, you only have to take one garlic caplet a day, not five. Plus, it's tasteless and odor-free. So like they always say, eat right, exercise, garlic. Oh, and use as directed.
Hey, can I get you a drink?
Yeah, I'd get one of your suckiest beers, please.
Sure. Anything else?
Nope. That'll be bad enough.
Well, we got drink specials all night, so just let me know.
Great. Here's to a sucky night.
When you're quitting smoking, having a drink without a cigarette sucks. Nicorette makes it suck less, doubling your chances of success. Learn more at Nicorette.com. Use as directed. Individual results may vary. Support program increases chances of success.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snowplow. You're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snowplows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
For over 17 years, Ovation Cell Therapy has helped more than 500,000 men and women with all hair types grow thicker, fuller, stronger, and longer hair faster. Join the tens of thousands of men and women who have logged on to OvationHair.com. And when you do, enter AM760 at checkout for a special money savings offer. For thicker, fuller, stronger, longer hair, it's OvationHair.com. And remember to enter AM760 for your special discount. OvationHair.com.
Ovation Cell Therapy has friends telling friends. It's that good.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation. This is the Bill Press Show.
26 minutes after the hour here on the Bill Press Show, Tuesday edition, January 12th. 2010, Terry O'Sullivan, president of the Laborers Union, coming up in the next hour. He was at that showdown meeting with President Obama in the Roosevelt Room yesterday at the White House. He'll tell us all about it. Meanwhile, the big news. You'll never believe this, right? Fox News, they hired a new political commentator. Yeah, with all those conservatives on there, you'd think they need somebody to provide a little balance. Yeah, well... They got it. Sarah Palin, would you believe? Sarah Palin. Yeah, we know the kind of insights and depth in analysis that Sarah Palin's going to bring to Fox News. Like when she's asked by Katie Couric, oh, tell us all the newspapers and magazines you read as governor of Alaska.
I've read most of them, again, with a great appreciation for the press, for the media.
What do you mean specifically? I'm curious that you...
All of them, any of them that have been in front of me over all these years.
What a total freaking...
I wish she's well-prepped.
I know, but here's the thing. I mean, come on. Can Fox News pretend now to be anything other than... what?